St. Luke, again, chapter 24. And consider along with me today verses 13 through 32. St. Luke, chapter 24, verses 13 through 32. And I'll begin reading. Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained, so that they did not know him. And he said to them, "What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad?" Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem, and have you not known the things which happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" So they said to him, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. They said unto them, 'O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?' And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, 'Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent.' And he went in to tarry with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, 'Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road, and while he opened the scriptures to us?'" I pray that God will bless all of us who hear his word, and that God will empower us to do what he said in his word. On today, from these verses, specifically verse 30, I would like to share with you from the topic, the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts. Verse 30 says again, "Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them." As I considered these verses again, and in the context of Jesus Christ, who is the resurrection, I was reminded that Jesus, and watch this, Jesus is not a motivational speaker. When you read verses 25 through 27, in the clear light of it, you see that Jesus did not preach a message of absolute success, as defined even in the minds of his own disciples. Listen to his words again, beginning at verse 25. "Then he said unto them, 'O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter in his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. We know from studying the scriptures concerning his three-year public ministry that Jesus, on several occasions, told his disciples that he would be talked down, that he would be beat down, and that he would be put down on the cross. Even while walking with the two disciples to Emmaus, he has to remind the disciples again of the whole counsel of God, and to connect the scriptures concerning himself, which clearly foretold that he would be the suffering servant. And just like these two disciples, we also need to be reminded, even in 2021, that the message of Jesus Christ, the gospel that we proclaim and are not ashamed of, has nothing to do. It has nothing to do with overcoming foreign occupation like the Roman Empire. It has nothing to do with defeating oppression under the yoke of a superpower and seemingly powerful empire. The gospel, hallelujah, the language of good news about the Father's love through his Son and our reconciliation to him, is one that declares his pain of the cross for our good and for God's glory. It's hard at times for us to keep this in view and in clear perspective, but Jesus had to meet the cross. Jesus had to meet the cross before he could wear the crown. The cross before the crown. Some, including his own disciples, thought that the cross was the defining moment of defeat. They thought it was over at the cross. And the disciples, as they were walking on their way to Emmaus, completely forgot about the scriptures and what Jesus said, what was written in the scripture, and what was reaffirmed by Jesus during his public ministry was that before he could get to where he needed to be as Messiah, that his destination was to that old rugged hill. And that was not simply motivational. Hallelujah. That's inspirational. So if anybody, hallelujah, if you're looking for a motivational speaker this morning, I'm probably not your preacher. But if you're looking for an inspirational word, a word of transformation that will move you from fact to faith and from information to wisdom, you're in the right place on this cause, because Jesus is the Lord of hosts. As we consider our text this morning, the two disciples who were suffering from their own PTSD found themselves in the right place. And once again, they weren't even in church, but they found themselves in the right place as they allow the unquestionable truth, Jesus Christ himself, to open up the scriptures about himself and also share with them both the necessity of the tragedy path that we call the crucifixion and the glory present in him who we know as the resurrection. Even now, this day, the first Sunday of May, we who are the ecclesia, the body of Christ, are experiencing that same glory in this very moment, as it is undisputed that we who are in Christ, oh God, not in church, but in Christ, not in religion or denomination, but in Christ, we who are in Christ are more than conquerors through him who loved us. All across this country, and no doubt throughout the world, many are going to houses of worship physically, virtually, telephonically, to be motivated to act
or behave more like a Christian. However, today we are not preaching here a message of temporary, just in the moment behavior modification. You're just a Christian, that's just behavior modification. Our message is life-changing because the word declares it is so. And don't get it wrong, I'm just talking about the label Christian because I'm trying to help us to understand that in 2021 and beyond, we need to go beyond a form of godliness that we call Christianity to move into the relationship that is defined by being Christ-like. The word says that any man, any woman who is in Christ, become a new creation. Not just the evidence of behavior modification for the moment. And the word goes on to say that an old thing, the former way of thinking, the former way of living, the former way of thinking and living and speaking becomes dead, so we can experience a new, abundant, and prosperous life in Christ. When the Word of God, hallelujah, and the Spirit of God begin to have their perfect work in each of us, we don't become religious or simply members of a particular church organization. We become the ecclesia, the body of Christ, the community of Christ that are presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. John declared in his book, chapter 1, verse 12, this, he said, but as many as receives him, talking about Jesus, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, to become the daughters of God, even to them that believe on his name. So we are not modified to the facts of our temporary circumstances. We've got that all around us right now, the temporary circumstances of a pandemic with limited vaccinations, the temporary circumstances of being so-called woke, but still unenlightened to know true joy and peace, the temporary circumstances of a new president, but the same demonic system of hate, the temporary system of having a additional stimulus money, but we still got the same broken heart. That's not our message. Our message today is inspirational, not motivational, because we have sure victory in Christ Jesus over sin and over death. And based on this gospel, we who believe on him have been given power by him, the infallible and unquestionable truth, Jesus Christ himself, to become the sons and the daughters of God, such that sin no longer has dominion over us. I believe that today. I hope you believe that with me. God, and I'm praying that the Lord of hosts will touch our hearts again, that we may feel the inspirational burn, just like the two disciples. That we will feel his quickening and life-changing power to recognize his presence right where we are at this very moment. Can you feel his presence this morning? Can you sense his presence in this morning? Do you have a praise in your heart? Hallelujah. Do you feel the burn of his word warming your heart this morning? Because he lives, and yes, he lives inside of you. Last week, we shared from the thought the truth of hospitality, which was simply a predicate to bring us to also seeing that Jesus is the Lord of hosts in order to show hospitality, there has to be a host. We find here in our text that the two disciples, they showed hospitality to someone that was a stranger to them. They didn't recognize that they were walking with Jesus. As they journeyed home, they did not recognize that Jesus was in plain sight. They had yet to grasp that it was Jesus himself. Although they had constrained him to abide with them for evening supper. Hallelujah. And it is an oxymoron that as the disciples showed the unrecognized Savior hospitality, they soon found themselves as his guests. The stranger who was shown hospitality now becomes the host at the head of the table. We see that where the scriptures show us that Jesus begins to take the bread. He begins to bless the bread, and he breaks the bread, and he gives the bread to the disciple. In doing so, as the host, hallelujah, at the head of the table, we see an inverted relationship where the greater blesses the lesser after the order of the king priest, Melchizedek. We should observe here that the government of Jesus Christ is not the type we often see in corporate America. And sadly, at times, even in church organizations where the person who is at the top exercises unloving and ungodly lordship over those below him or those below her. The order of Christ, however, is one symbolized by the inverted pyramid and signifies the example of a servant leader. Jesus shares this with us in chapter 20 of the book of St. Matthew, verses 25 through 28, beginning at verse 25. But Jesus called them unto him and said, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. Let her be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Let her be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. And to give his life a ransom for many. Are you hearing this with me this morning? The true government of Christ is one of servant leadership, not dictatorship. And so as we get back to our primary text for today, verses 28 through 30, it reads, and they drew nigh unto the village, whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and a day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. The experience of the two disciples quickened within me that after we have let the Lord Jesus come into our homes and come into our businesses and come into our career, there also needs to be a shift. When in us, when we come into voluntary agreement that he has the preeminence to reign as the Lord of hosts over our lives, completely over our lives, every aspect of our lives. It deserves some practical thought and reconciliation, as you would your checkbook. I hope y'all reconcile your checkbook. But it deserves practical thought and reconciliation here to take inventory of every area of our lives where we have invited Jesus to come in, but we have not recognized him as being Lord. There is a difference. There's a difference between knowing Jesus and, watch this, obeying him. The Christian knows him, but those who are Christ-like, hallelujah, they obey him. We have access to the Bible, to the scriptures on our phone. So we can have gospel songs when we're riding in our car. We have religious websites on our phones at our fingertips. But the question is this: have we surrendered all to him as the Lord of hosts? Those who diligently and intentionally pursue Christ recognize him not just as the Lord of faith, the things unseen, but those who are pursuing Christ recognize him also as the Lord of facts, which do appear. Let me tell you what I mean by this, and just let me give you this simple example. And it's one I'm sure that all of us, we struggle with, and it's practical. Many declare the name of Jesus over their lives, but they still don't see him practically in real time as Lord at the table. Many don't declare that Jesus is Lord, for example, over what they eat and what they put in their body. And unfortunately, it's only after the diagnosis of diabetes, after the diagnosis of high blood pressure, that many then want to recognize Jesus as Lord, and only so because now they need a healer for the body. Only after the fact, when their health has been ruined by their own decisions to live contrary to his perfect will, that many then want to seek him in prayer for a miraculous healing. But why not pray before the diagnosis for miraculous obedience to just live in accordance with his word? If we could only see him as Lord before the diabetes, before the high blood pressure, before the stroke, before the heart attack, if we could only see that he is Lord that heals us from the weapons that we form against our own sin, and that certainly kill us. It's still the diet of death. Now as it was at the very beginning in the garden. I don't know if y'all thought about this, but sin came into this world because of improper diet, sinful diet. It's at the table, and a lot of times on our plates, that we need to declare by faith that the devil is a liar. If we walk back to the garden, hallelujah, and as you can see the woman there, and you can see Adam there, and everybody preached this on Wednesday night. Who you talking to? Who you talking to? Who you talking to? Who told you that you could eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Who told you that you could drink all of those sugary drinks? Who told you that you could eat all of that red meat? Who told you that you could eat all of that fried food? Know you not that your body, hallelujah, not the church building, but know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. If we could just see him as the Lord of hosts and surrender to his master plan, which is the Logos, the Word of God, we would be made whole and wouldn't need to be healed from the diseases that we have inflicted and invited upon ourselves. Family. The divine principle here is simply this: Jesus cannot truly be our Lord of hosts. He can't be the Lord of hosts over our lives if we are trying to dictate what he has on the menu. That's a problem right there. We want to invite him in, but we want to dictate what is on the menu. You don't go to a restaurant and dictate what's on the menu. You order off of what's on the menu, and we need to order off of what's in the Word of God. So let me close. And let me close with a reminder that as we celebrate communion today, we should not allow ourselves to undermine his sovereign power over our lives, regardless of what is happening. Those things that we know is the works of unrighteousness, the works that are influenced by demonic, systematic oppression. We don't need to allow the circumstances that are all around us to defeat the Word of God within us to know that we have sure victory. David knew what it was like to have your own government to pursue you, to try to kill you, and you hadn't done anything wrong. He writes about it in Psalm 3. And he says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still water. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Hallelujah. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What David wrote about reminds me that every day when I'm going to work, hallelujah, I'm by myself, but never alone. I'm by myself, but I'm never alone. David talked to us about this good shepherd. And it was David who was inspired, hallelujah, because he was suffering from PTSD like me. He was praising the Savior daily. And as he wrote Psalm 23, he could praise the Lord even when his enemies and vigilantes were all around him. And so who is this good shepherd that David is talking about? Well, he gives us a glimpse even further. He goes on to write about Jesus in Psalm 24. As he's speaking about Jesus in Psalm 23. And in Psalm 24, beginning at verse 7 again, lift up your head, O you gate, and be you lifted up, you everlasting door, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates, even lift them up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Family. Jesus is this King of glory. He is, as John will write about him in Revelation, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And I want to add the President of presidents. Hallelujah. The Governor of governors. He is the Lord of hosts, the unquestionable truth, and the Savior of the world. We can praise him this morning and shout glory because he is the Lord of hosts who has prepared a table for us in the presence of. When you go back and read Psalm 23, he don't say in the absence of. He says in the presence of my enemies. Hallelujah. I prepared a table for you. Oh, God. Oh, you need to check out the menu. You need to check out the menu, y'all. I can hear the saints sing. Hallelujah. Come over here where the table is spread and the feast of the Lord is going on. We're going to drink from the fountain that never runs dry. We're going to sing hallelujah. Amen and amen. Praise God for Jesus.
Hallelujah.
So now...